settle in again, okay? Oh, man, listening to the groaning. Yeah, yeah. Hey, nice work, guys. Nice work. Well, as we said, this is Global Partner Sunday. Welcome. We have been doing a series in the book of Acts. We've been calling it Going Public. And really the key verse is found in Acts 1, verse 8. Jesus, speaking right before he ascended to heaven, said this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." God wants his message of Jesus Christ to go across all the earth. We've been talking about it on Sunday mornings, and this is, in a sense, going to be a lab session. We're going to be hearing from people that we partner with who are going out doing this message. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for those who are speaking, for us, that we would be receptive to what is going on. This service is going to be a little bit different. We're going to have multiple speakers coming up and sharing, so as we pass the mics off and so on, there might be little hiccups, and that's fine. Just bear it. We're not going to take an offering in this service, but we do have an offering box in the back should you feel so led to do that. But let me pray for our time right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are a part of a story that is much bigger than just us. Thank you that you are at work all around the globe. Lord, I pray that we would join in that work. You want your word to go out across the street and around the world. Lord, help us to be involved and engaged in every aspect of this. We commit ourselves to you now. I pray for those who will be sharing, speak through them. I pray for us that we would have receptive hearts to what you're going to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Right now we have something that we want you to see.
In the beginning, God created everything. He created a world full of people to know him and to be known by him. This is the story of the Bible, God bringing people to himself. And when we read the Bible, we see how God went to great lengths to do this and how much God cares about people knowing him. You most likely already know this. And you probably live somewhere where people have a general understanding of this great love story between God and humanity. And if they don't know yet, there's probably somebody in town who can tell them. But did you also know that there are 3 billion people who will live and die without ever hearing this story? Not because they don't care, but because they don't have a choice. Nobody ever told them that once upon a time, God became a human just like them, so that he could teach them how to know their creator. 40% of the world doesn't know this, and they won't know this. Not unless something changes. Not unless someone goes to tell them. Jesus is our wonderful example. He left his natural home to come to us. And then he tells us to do the same thing. Because we love Jesus and care about the same things that he cares about, we care about this. That the whole world would know him. That every tongue, tribe, and people group would come and be able to worship him. So the question is, are we doing this? Going out into the world to bring the gospel to every tongue, tribe, and nation? Well, kind of. While churches do send people out, almost half the world still doesn't have any access to the gospel. But how is this possible? Aren't there people being sent? Well, yeah. There are about 400,000 people serving across the world today. But only 3% of them are actually going to the 40% who have never heard about Jesus. The other 97%, they're going to places that have already heard about Jesus. There's an imbalance. That imbalance leaves only one person for each 250,000 people who have never heard about Jesus. Put another way, we have a spirit-led calling to rethink our focus. When you look at how we use our resources, such as money, the picture doesn't look that much better. To be specific, Christians around the world are giving about 2% of their income to Christian causes. And less than 7% of that is going to cross-cultural workers. And of that cross-cultural giving, only 1/100th of that 0.1% is actually going to those working with the 3 billion people who don't know Jesus, have no church or any Christian neighbors. The other 99% of all cross-cultural giving goes to the rest of the world that already has Christians, Bibles, and churches. Are you seeing the imbalance? Only 3% of our workers with only 1% of our cross-cultural finances are going to the 3 billion people who have never heard about Jesus. So we have to ask ourselves, are we okay with this? We want those 3 billion people to hear about the kingdom of God and how much God loves them. There are 17,000 ethno-linguistic groups in the world. People who share language, culture, and common history. 7,000 of them are considered unreached people groups. These are entire cultures who have never heard the amazing story of how Jesus loves them and came to save them. God has called us to pay attention to this, to love and care for the same things that He does. He put this desire on our heart, to see the unreached reached with the amazing story of the love of God. We want to see lasting local church planting movements begin among these people groups that brings renewal and transformation among these cultures and societies. Why? Because God has moved our hearts to see the gospel transform whole societies among the unreached. We know this task is bigger than us. Many of the areas that are in need of the gospel are difficult and resistant places. It isn't something that can be accomplished overnight, but by the power of the Spirit, we endeavor to preach the gospel where Christ is not known so that God can be worshiped by all people.
Good morning. How's everyone doing? Good. Thanks for coming out. I know this is a little bit different of a service, but we're glad that so many of you are here. John Piper said these words. He said, missions exist because worship doesn't. Missions exist because worship doesn't. It's this idea that God created all peoples. He created all cultures and languages. And He's the only one with the rightful claim to all worship over the earth. And so missions is this, again, this idea that we're trying to redirect or point people to where their worship should be, and that is in the Creator God. So as the video pointed out, and it does a good job, it shows and tells how Jesus came down from His home in heaven to be with us, to love us, and to share with us, and ultimately to go to the cross and die for us. So likewise, Jesus then, throughout His life, demonstrated the Great Commission. And He gave us the Great Commission to then go and therefore and make disciples of all nations. This is so important because Christ understood that God had created all peoples and He wants them to worship Him. This is the mission of the church. This is our marching orders. This is kind of the lens that we should live our Christian lives and the lens in which we should see the world. You know, the beautiful thing about being a Christian are the promises of God that they give us peace and they kind of give us focus. And one of those is from Genesis 12 and how God made a promise to Abraham that all families on the face of the earth would be blessed through him. Now we know, and we're fortunate to have the New Testament, and we know in Galatians and in Romans that Christ was the fulfillment of that promise and that He lived out the Great Commission and then He gave it to us. But then we also have Revelation. We have this future reality in which we know that all tribes, tongues, and nations will be before the throne of God, worshiping God. You know, the video did a great job of talking about and pointing out that there's 3 billion people over the face of the earth that have no access to the gospel. And this is a shocking reality and one that hopefully motivates us to be involved and calls us to action. But hopefully you don't intend it out of guilt. It's not meant out of guilt, but out of really a love to focus that worship and the worship that God then desires. So the video also pointed out that there's an imbalance. There's an imbalance of resources, and there's an imbalance of missionaries and where they are. And I thought about this and how to put this in perspective. If we in this area, the Washington metropolitan area, if we were, say, one ethnic group, and we are an unreached people group, we're about 5 million people, depending on where you set the boundaries. That would be, according to the statistic that he pointed out, that there is one missionary or one Christian for every 250,000 people. that would mean there's 20 of us. There's 20 of us in this area to reach all of us. You know, when I think about that 3 billion number, I think of in Matthew 9, 36 through 38, where Christ looks out over the crowds and he has compassion on them. And then he basically, he essentially is talking to his disciples and he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out his workers. So there's an element of going, right? And we're going to hear from our global partners and those who have gone to the harvest. But in that verse, it also talks about how pray to the Lord of the harvest. So there's an element of prayer that we can be involved in, and then also sending. So there's multiple roles that we can play. So hopefully throughout this morning, you're encouraged by the ministry updates and by the work that God is doing through our global partners. But also, we hope that your hearts are open to maybe the role that God would have you play, even more than maybe what you are today, to meet this ancient promise and to fulfill the great commission that God has given us. So now Bob is going to come and pray for us, and then we're going to hear from our global partners.
Let's pray. God, you are a great God. You are an awesome God. You are worthy of our praise, and we lift up our praise to you now. You provide and send blessings. All blessings come from you, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your love, your unfailing love that continues forever. We just pray for our blessings now on this time together. We thank you for this church and the opportunity we've had to be a part in the global ministry of various individuals and couples as they serve in various places. We're commanded to be witnesses here in the rest of the United States and the world, Father. And we thank you for the groups that are here in this area. Thank you for each one of us, Father. We have a responsibility each day to be purposeful and to share about the hope of Jesus that is in us to those that we come in contact with. We pray for those who are in the United States and throughout the world. We thank you for the privilege we have to pray for them and to support them financially. Bless this time now, Lord. We just pray that we will be encouraged. We will be challenged. We thank you for the global partners here, that they will be encouraged and blessed by being here with us today. In your name we pray. Amen. So what I'd like to do now is introduce, we're going to have three speakers that are going to be coming forward. And our first speaker is going to be Buche Tahaleli, who you all know. And Buche started out as a missionary with us in Indonesia. He and his wife served for many years in Indonesia. He's a medical doctor, and he's just got a heart for God. Anybody he comes in contact with, he's going to share about Jesus. He's just got a wonderful heart, and I got to meet him probably 20 years ago. We got to share our testimonies together, and it's been a joy just to know him and see how he serves and loves the Lord. Then the second speakers will be Rolando and Aaron Poo. And Aaron grew up in this church. She's the daughter of Walt Tommy, who was involved with founding the church in the very beginning. And she's been in Guatemala for quite a long time. And she found her husband, Rolando, there. And they serve in Guatemala, Moquan, and other parts of Guatemala, serving the ministers in the area, encouraging them and training them and working with through Awanas and other areas for families and children in the area. So they'll be sharing with us. And then Josh Newell will be the last one to share this morning, this hour. And he's with the Jesus Film. As of May 1st, he will be the executive director of the Jesus Film. He'll be the top person involved in that ministry. So continue to pray for him in that area. And so he's part of a ministry that goes globally everywhere. So we're excited to have each one of these. So I'll let Buche come on up here and get started.
Good morning. Just praise the Lord. We can celebrate Him this Sunday, Mission Sunday. One important thing, when you are in Christ, it's not about you anymore. So, because He will use either pain or pleasure to bring Christ out of you. Now, we used to live in the island of Irian Jaya, the former name. Now it's just Papua, Western Side of New Guinea. And I thought that that was the place God wanted me and my family to serve Him for the rest of our life. But He had a different plan. God used my wife and my cancer to move us here. And after 7 years with cancer, the Lord called my wife home. And He's not done with me yet. But even through journey with cancer, especially 3 years ago, and my doctor told me there are widespread of cancer in my bones, God can use that as an opportunity. He can use our disappointment into His appointment. And so opportunity is right there. You don't have to look for them. So this is what I share with my doctor. Many of you already heard that. In the examination room, there are lots of gloves, right? So you can carry glove everywhere you go and share the gospel using this. The glove is made to be used only by hand. Nothing else can use it. So is our body alive? We are made to be used only by God. But many people think they can fill their life with many other things. Money, wealth, career, spouse, anything else beside God that they think can make them happy and satisfied. It doesn't work. The only way is when we respond to Christ knocking at the heart of our door to have Jesus Christ come in and take over as Lord. Now, this is the key principles that I learned, and I hope the Lord will bless you in using this too. When you have Christ in you, you have three things. What three things? Number one, His essence that transforms you from inside out. Number two, you have His presence. He's there with you all the time. Doesn't matter what your situation is. He's there with you. And then you have His performance. He's going to do things through you. Number one, in you, for you, and through you. And this is what I learned. Being a disciple is when Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, nurture these three things in us. His essence, His presence, and His performance. It's not about program or materials. It's all about Christ. His essence, His presence, and His performance. That's when the Holy Spirit nurtures that in us. Then when the Holy Spirit uses you to nurture these three things in other people, that's what we call make disciples. And so, just give a simple illustration. When you are available to the Lord, He will lead you, sometimes mess up your schedules and agenda in order to be available to share the gospel to others. this has happened recently. The Lord used our dog as a ministry team. You know why? Because our vet is a Muslim from Pakistan. And Muslims love to talk about God. And so my dog had to have a rabies vaccine. So I went there and took my dog. While doing the procedure, suddenly out of the blue, he said, this is what he said, this is very unusual for me. But then he shared about his severe pain in the right shoulder. Woke up in the middle of the night with severe pain and has been receiving several shots. Didn't help. So he asked me, would you pray for me? I never expected that, but he's just right, would you pray for me? So before I left, I just put my hand on his right shoulder and I pray, Lord, you are creator, savior, and Lord of all. I just bring my brother, I name him, to you. You know what's wrong with him. Would you please restore his shoulder to the normal function again, in Jesus' name. And to my surprise, he gave me a hug for a long time and sobbed in my shoulder. God is reaching to him now. This is a very interesting thing because my vet believed that Jesus died for our sin. He rose again. He's alive. He even said, if you see Jesus, you see the Lord. But he still strongly believed that you can go to heaven only by doing good works. Now, sharing the gospel is a process, not a product. We would like to get the product, but it's a process from far away from Christ to Christ. So our role is just pray that the Lord will lead us to recognize where the person in this journey is. Way over there, a little bit closer, or really close. And so pray that the Lord will use all of you to be the channel of his grace. Thank you.
Good morning. That was just a little presentation of what we've been doing. And we wanted to update you all on all that God has done in the last 2 years since we were last here. I mean, it's really amazing when we think back. If any of you were here 2 years ago, we had to leave the place where we were because it wasn't ours. And so we had to go find land, we had to build, and it just all seemed impossible to us. But thankfully, with God, nothing is impossible. So in that time, he provided. We wanted to stay in the village of Mequon where we were because we had the library for the children there, and we really didn't want to leave them, but land was not becoming available, especially to land big enough for us to build the Bible Institute and all of that stuff. So we thought we were going to have to leave, but then, you know, God showed us, well, just buy a small piece of land here, and then I'm going to give you land somewhere else. So we did that. We bought land in Mequon. We built the house where we lived for a year, and now the caretakers are living there. And then we started building the library facilities. Just real quick, we started building the kitchen, and Rolando and I looked at each other one day, and we said, you know, we don't have any money left. We can't order any more materials, and just we were just so frustrated, and we said, okay, well, we're going to send out a newsletter, and, you know, although that doesn't normally work, but we're going to try, and we'll see what people give. And we sat down, and we prayed. And then we hadn't sent anything out yet. And 30 minutes later, a friend of ours sent an email saying, hey, I just got a small inheritance from my parents, and I'm sending you $5,000 to build the library. And I had to read it 3 times to make sure that was what she really said. But, I mean, praise God. He always does these things for us. And we've just seen it over and over again. So we built the kitchen. We built the library, the main library building. We're about there, as we speak, they're putting on the doors and windows so that we can finally be totally enclosed there and have, you know, use that for the kids. So we're so excited. He also provided for us to buy land in Pasmolón, which is about 10 minutes away from Mequon. So that's going to be our ministry base. That's where we want to build the Bible Institute and hopefully another library for children there for that community. And then maybe one day a vocational center. So we're not sure all the plans that God has for us. Another praise is we want to thank God for our 2 teachers. We have 2 full-time teachers that help us in the library from Monday through Thursday. And then we have 4 volunteers that we give a small offering to help us on Fridays with Awanas because there's way too many kids for us to control on our own. We also have a cook who comes on Fridays because after Awanas, we give the kids a meal. So she's in charge of planning the meals and buying and cooking. And then we have a wonderful group of moms, all the moms in our village that their kids come, they all take turns coming and cooking. I mean, they make tortillas by hand, they cook, and they just do a wonderful job. We also want to praise God for the faithfulness of the 200 kids that are coming each Friday. Sometimes I don't even know, I can't even believe that they all come, but they're coming and they're listening and they're hearing about God every Friday. And just at the library, which has been a help and a resource for the whole community. We've seen how much it's done, and there's so much more that we can do, especially now that we have facilities where people can come and teach. And then we just thank God for the opportunity to preach and teach the gospel. That's Rolando's passion, and so God's just opened doors for him to be able to go out, to reach out to these pastors, to reach out to the communities, and to preach in different areas. So he's going to share with you some of our prayer requests.
Good morning. Now is my turn. I want to talk with you in English, but I'm a little nervous. So my wife can translate for me. Are you agree with me? Yeah, okay. Thank you. Estaba recordando.
I was remembering.
Las palabras de Carlos Spurgeon.
The words of Charles Spurgeon.
Cada vez que Carlos Spurgeon predicaba.
Every time he preached.
En el sótano.
In the basement.
Había un gran grupo de personas orando por él.
There was a big group of people who were praying for him.
No podremos hacer nada.
We can't do anything
sin la oración de toda la iglesia.
Without prayers from the whole church.
No podremos caminar si ustedes no oran por nosotros.
We can't walk if you guys don't pray for us.
Sin las oraciones de ustedes, no podríamos avanzar ni una milla.
Without the prayers of you all, we couldn't go 1 mile forward.
Así que pedimos que nos ayuden a orar por lo siguiente.
So we ask that you all help us to pray for the following.
Oren por nuestra familia. Para que Dios siga usando nuestras vidas en la proclamación del evangelio.
Pray for our family, that God will help us to be able to proclaim the gospel.
Una de las cosas que más necesita no solo Guatemala sino todo el mundo es escuchar las buenas noticias.
Something that not just Guatemala needs to hear, but the whole world is to hear the good news.
El mundo está cada día más violento, más necesitado.
Every day the world is getting more violent, more in need.
Por escuchar una buena noticia.
And they need to hear the good news.
Y nosotros tenemos esa buena noticia.
And we have that good news.
La buena noticia es Jesucristo.
And the good news is Jesus Christ.
Ayúdennos a orar por eso.
So help us to pray for that.
Ayúdennos a orar por todos los niños de la biblioteca y las familias.
Help us pray for all the kids in the library and all of their families.
Ayúdennos a orar para que Dios continúe cambiando los corazones de los niños y de los padres.
Help us to pray that God will continue to change the hearts of the children and not just them but their families at home.
Solo el Señor puede cambiar las vidas.
Only the Lord can change lives.
Ayúdennos a orar por la aldea de Pasmolón, que es el lugar donde queremos abrir una nueva biblioteca.
Help us pray for the village of Pasmolón, which is the land we've bought for the ministry center and where we hope to have a library one day.
Cerca de nosotros hay una aldea que se llama El Platero y no hay iglesia en ese lugar.
There's a village very close to that land and it's called Platero and there are no churches there
Así
right now.
Así que es un gran desafío para nosotros.
So that's a big challenge for us.
Oren también, por favor, por el Instituto Bíblico que nosotros queremos abrir el próximo año.
Help us to pray for the Bible Institute, which we would like to open next year.
Uno de nuestros intereses o intenciones al abrir un Instituto Bíblico es preparar a una nueva generación de pastores, misioneros, evangelistas.
One of our intentions for opening the Bible Institute is to prepare a new generation of leaders, of pastors, of evangelists.
Especialmente del área rural.
Especially in the rural areas.
Así que, por favor, ayúdennos a orar por eso.
So please help us pray for that.
Y de este punto casi no me gusta hablar mucho.
In this point, I don't like to talk about a lot.
Pero voy a hacerlo en el nombre del Señor.
But I'm going to do it and say it in the name of the Lord.
Ayúdennos a orar por los recursos económicos que se necesitan para construir las aulas en la biblioteca y en el Instituto Bíblico.
Please help us to pray for the construction of the classrooms for the library and also for the Bible Institute that we want to open.
Cuando hablamos de plata es un poco incómodo.
It's a little uncomfortable when we talk about money.
Pero es necesario.
But it's needed.
Así que, ¿qué es lo que les pedimos?
So what do we ask?
Ayúdennos a orar.
Help us to pray. Pray with us.
Dios es el Dios que provee las cosas.
God is the one who provides all
the things. Y hace muchos años siempre recuerdo esto.
And I remember many years ago.
Yo sé que tengo solo un minuto más.
I think you have less than 1 minute.
Pero siempre he vivido.
I've always lived.
Con esto en mi corazón y en mi mente durante 24 años.
With this in my heart for the last 24 years.
Cuando Dios, y yo ahora puedo decirlo con toda libertad, cuando Dios me habló.
And now I can tell you with full liberty that God spoke to me 24 years ago.
Ocúpate de mis cosas.
He said, you worry about my things.
Y yo me ocuparé de tus cosas.
And I'll worry about your things.
Y eso queremos pedirles a ustedes. Nosotros seguiremos trabajando ocupados en las cosas del Señor, pero ustedes ayúdennos a orar. Eso es lo que les pedimos.
For the Lord, and we just ask that you guys help pray for us.
Muchas gracias y perdonen que me haya robado un minuto más.
Thank you.
So now we're going to have Josh Newell come up and share with us about the Jesus film and some of the new and exciting things that he and his family are going to be embarking on.
Thanks, Ross. I was enjoying this presentation so much, I forgot to come up when it was my turn. So Ross had to gently say, come on up. We're thrilled to be with you, Cedar Run, and I actually think that you should add another initial into Cedar Run's church name, Global Church, because we feel like the extension of Cedar Run. 19 years ago, Holly and I were, oh, there's my family. This is Jack at the top, and then Holly Emerson on the bottom, Jordan to the right of my wife, and my 13-year-old son, Elias. 19 years ago, Holly and I were married. We just celebrated our anniversary last Tuesday, and we felt the call to full-time missions immediately. And so Cedar Run was the first church to come alongside of us in that calling. And ever since then, for 19 years, we've felt the missionary acceleration through your church and through your community. And so I think rightfully, you can say you're a global church because of all the people that are up here presenting and who you are accelerating through your finances, through your prayers, and through your support. And it's really fun to come to a Sunday like now and rub shoulders with so many people who are out there in many different countries doing many different things and all with the same purpose, and that is to reach the world for Christ. And we serve with Jesus Film Project. Let me see a quick show of hands if you've heard of Jesus Film Project before. Oh, wow, great. Okay, wonderful. And I know a lot of that is because of your involvement with not just us, but with Heather White as well. And so we're really grateful for that. Jesus Film Project began as a ministry in 1979, and we have the privilege of taking on the next part of the race as executive directors. That was a decision that we were just informed of last week, so our heads are a little bit swirling. You can be in prayer for us as we begin to transition into leadership of the ministry. But just to give you a taste of where God has brought the ministry, I wanted to show this quick little intro video, if you don't mind hitting that. And that was it. So it's really fast. For God, all time is a blink, right? So we'll get the video in a second, I'm sure. No video? Oh, okay, cool. Let me know if you find it. Oh, is this like keep talking? Oh, great, okay. Well, hey, good thing I have lots of stories to share. In fact, let's skip the video if you guys are okay with that. I'm fine with that. If you hit the next slide, if you don't mind. I wanted to share with you just where the Jesus Film has been in the last year. There are 7,000 languages that are spoken in the world, and Jesus Film, the movie Jesus, which was produced 40 years ago, and it has been translated into 1,600 of them. And so that's amazing. It's a world record. No other movie's been translated that many times. But as you can see, 7,000 minus 1,600 is some number that I won't try to compute in my head right now, but it's large, and we have a lot of a way to go before we reach the entire world, and that's really our purpose, is to reach everyone everywhere. And where this picture is in the world is in Nepal, and those are the Himalayan mountains up above, and some of the most unreached, unengaged people groups live up in those mountains for good reason, because it's very difficult to go and traverse those mountain peaks. If you hit the next slide, the guy that's in this picture, his name is John to the right, and our global partnership director, Bill, to your left. John wrote us and said, hey, for the last 10 years, I've been showing the Jesus Film for 10, village to village, and I have this old 16-millimeter projector set. And if you are my age, you can remember those in school where those things would always break down, right? And that was in the middle of a pristine school environment. And this guy had carefully taken care of this equipment set for 10 years, and it weighs close to 200 pounds when you have the generator and all those things. And so he would lug it up by donkey to different places in the Himalayas and just kind of show it week after week in these different places. And he said, hey, is there any way that you could send me another one of those projector sets, because it finally broke down? And we said, well, we got great news, because it's 2018, and we no longer need to show the Jesus film that way. We have everything that you need. It can fit inside of a 50-pound backpack, and it has a solar panel. It has a tiny projector. It has all the speakers. And not only that, but you don't have to use the reels. We have SD cards that can carry, you know, up to 100 different languages on them. So you just tell us the languages that you need, and you tell us when you want us to meet us, or when you want to meet us, and we'll deliver a backpack to you with everything that you need. And so he took he walked about 4 miles down, took a bus down off the side of the mountain, and I think took an 8-hour train ride to get to Kathmandu, and then rode a bike from the train station to where Bill met him in a cafe. And Bill gave him the backpack, and with tears in his eyes, John said, you have no idea where this will allow us to reach. This will allow me to go to so many more places, because it's just portable now. And so he said, and I got to go, because the train leaves right now. So he reversed that whole trek up and took the backpack with him, and so far he's shown it to thousands of people. And what's great about that is that the Jesus film is a movie that simply tells the life of Christ from the book of Luke. And when you let Jesus speak for himself in his own words, life changes. And so far, throughout all of the different partners that we have throughout the world, 1,500 different partnering agencies and mission groups, more than 7 billion people have seen the Jesus film in the last 40 years, and close to half a billion people have indicated a decision to follow him as a result. It's a wonderful stewardship that we get to have as ministers of the gospel, to be in that moment with people. If you can quiet your mind for a second and go on this journey with me, but where were you when someone shared Jesus with you and you decided to follow him? What was going on inside of your heart? What were the things that you cared about and the feelings that you had as you realized that there was a Savior who wanted to know you, and not only that, was willing to forgive everything so that he could have a relationship with you? And we get to steward that treasure in clay jars with you all over the world. So that's a little story from Nepal. Before coming back to the U.S., we served for a number of years in France, and there's not a slide for this because this is a story from Syria where we can't really show pictures and be able to share names very easily. But when we served in the Middle East, we heard miracle after miracle of what God was doing to bring Muslims to himself. And one of those stories most recently was of an ISIS leader. And the world seems to be falling apart, and ISIS is a large result of that in recent days and years. But we have a team that we partner with called Run Ministries, and they sent out a couple people to quietly show the Jesus film in different Syrian villages. And they would show the Jesus film on a little projector screen at night, and try to, you know, keep the groups down to 20 to 30 people at most, so that they wouldn't draw attention to themselves. Still, they drew attention to themselves, and an ISIS militia, a death squad, really, had caught wind that the Jesus film was being shown in all these different villages around where they were. And so the leader of this militia said, we're going to put a stop to this. Too many people are hearing about this prophet. And so they went one night where they knew the Jesus film was going to be played inside of a house. And instead of attacking, they watched the whole movie. And instead of disbanding everything that was going on, the leader said, I'm going to follow Jesus now. And in fact, we're not going to do this thing where we go out and murder people. Instead, we're going to give them life. And he organized about 10,000 different Syrian militiamen throughout the country. And from that moment forward, he said, we're going to be about Jesus. And, you know, at some point, the 10,000 have to, like, discover Jesus for themselves. But at that moment, they just responded to the leader and said, okay, that's what we're going to do. And so they became, like, our largest Jesus film team in the whole country. So that's just one story I wanted to share with you. That those are things that, as you watch the nightly news, there's lots to be discouraged about. But I really believe that today is the most exciting time in all of history to be alive because of what God is doing to let his name be known amongst everyone everywhere. And you guys get to be a part of that. You know that you don't need to have a passport to be a missionary right here in Northern Virginia. The nations are coming to you. Your neighbor is in just as much need as somebody in Syria to hear the gospel. And so thank you for your heart. Thank you for your heart to support all these missionaries that are up here and being a part of your Global Partner Sunday. Thank you for your involvement and encouragement in our lives. Thank you for your prayers. I did want to let you know that we have a book called Everyone Everywhere that our current executive director, Dr. Eric Schenkel, wrote. And it's available for anybody who... actually, it's kind of first come, first served basis. I think we have 25 copies out there. So if you would like a copy, feel free to stop by our little table out there and pick up one. So thank you, Cedar Run. Thank you for everything that you mean to us. And it's a privilege to be with you tonight or today.
Just to be sure I don't miss anything, ready for me to close in prayer? All right. just to let everybody know, we're hoping everyone here will stay. We have a lot more exciting planned at 10:30. It's going to be different from everything you saw here, so please stay for that as well. We did not do an offering at this service, but if you want to, if you're here, you're only going to be at the one, you have an offering. We do have a place in the back to drop that off, but we're hoping you'll all be back for our 10:30 time together. And let me pray to close our time now. Precious Lord Jesus, we sing on Sunday, how great is our God. We sing of what an awesome God it is that we serve. And Lord, it is really at a time like this when we hear Buche and Aaron and Rolando and Josh up here talking that, Lord, it really starts to sink in what a great and awesome God you are. Lord, how you are moving all over. You hold this very planet in the palm of your hand. And Lord, of the billions of human lives on this planet, Lord, you care about and love every single one of them. Lord, we do talk a lot about how dark it appears the world is at times. And yet, Lord, just hearing some of these stories, Lord, it is instead of cursing the darkness, what we need to be doing is being a light. And that's what these people are. All these missionaries that we get to support are being a light in corners of the world, Lord, in such mighty and special and unique ways. So, Lord, thank you for the privilege you give us to be a part of what they're doing. Lord, it is our privilege. It is our honor. It is a gift you have given to us to allow us to give to them. And so, Lord, continue to move in what Buche is doing here locally and what Rolanda and Aaron and all the prayers for that library and all the different things that they need in Guatemala. Lord, for this great new opportunity for Josh and Holly and for what the Jesus film is doing, the incredible work around this world. Lord, allow us to continue to be a part of that. And, Lord, even a bigger part of all those as well as the other missionaries you'll be hearing from in the coming service. So, Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for all that went into preparing it. And, Lord, just move in our hearts so that we might continue to partner in this awesome, great God that you are. And we pray this in the power of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, and everybody said, amen.